Hello and welcome to the programme which looks at the Holy Land. I am Paul Calvert. Psalm 89 verse 4 from the New King James Bible says this: Your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations.
I'm with Martin Gillard from Sussex Friends of Israel. Now, Martin, what is Sussex Friends of Israel?
Well, Sussex Friends of Israel is a street advocacy group, and we've been going about 10 years. We're based here in Brighton on the south coast of England, and we formed originally in reaction to a boycott of a local shop, a SodaStream shop, which is an Israeli company. They were based in the West Bank, their factory and headquarters. And anyway, because it was Israeli owned, the BDS boycotted it. They got it closed down, actually. And it took a time to get it closed down. And in that time, a lot of people supporting Israel, no connection together, but we bonded and we decided that we had to confront this. And so we formed the Sussex Friends of Israel. And now we meet every fortnight. We've been doing so for 10 years. It's not in response to recent events. For 10 years, every 2 weeks we meet in the centre of Brighton, and we actually stand where the PSC, the Palestinian Solidarity Campaign, and BDS stand. And we don't stand with them, but we stand opposite them. And, you know, for several years it was cordial. Well, no, I won't say cordial. It was okay. We tolerated one another. There was some friction. But of course, everything changed post October the 7th. So that's who we are. I think we were the first Friends of Israel group in this country. There are several now, but I think we were the first.
How many members do you have in the group?
Well, it almost died, you know, because now, let me tell you the good news. Now it's up to about 30, but because we've been joined at last by a big Jewish group. Now, for a long time, I'm not Jewish, and in fact, very few of the members were Jewish. Now, one reason for that was that it was on a Saturday, and so obviously a lot of Jewish people are not going to come out on a Saturday to do this. So it was basically a mixture of people whose common thread was that they were, supportive of the Jewish people and supportive of Israel. As far as religious affiliations concerned, mostly Christian people, some atheist people. You know, our religious background isn't crucial to the makeup of the group at all. We're all motivated by our love of Israel and the Jewish people, really. And you know, originally, in opposition to the boycott, we had our flags, we had our Israeli flags, and we gave out leaflets to anyone interested, giving reasons why you shouldn't boycott Israel, you know, because of their, you know, the how we rely on them for IT. I mean, if you boycott Israel, throw away your Apple iPhone, and one in six medicines on our National Health Service it comes from Israel, one in six of the prescriptions on our National Health Service comes from Israel. So you'd have to junk that. You'd have to get rid of the drip irrigation in Africa, saving countless lives. I mean, Israel is such an essential part of the world economy now, and, you know, innovation, that it's just ridiculous to boycott it. And we were making that point with the leaflets we gave out. As I say again, since October the 7th, we're not taking that approach now. It's very much more a case of arguing for the legitimacy of Israel and the legitimacy of Israel being in Gaza and fighting the war against Hamas. And that's a bit more of a fight, to be honest. I mean, not literally a fight, although, you know, passions run very high now. We actually, for the first time of the recent months, we've had a police presence. We couldn't do it anymore without police law. The passions are so high that we were attacked twice, physically attacked, and, you know, two fortnights in a row. And at that point, we could see it was going to end badly for us because, you know, we were quite small in number at that time, down to probably, you know, 9 or 10 people. I mean, you know, there aren't many below the age of 60. And so we were very vulnerable because the left wingers, the PSC / BDS, are exclusively far left. They're exclusively very militant. They have a store with the Socialist Worker Party, and they can be very aggressive, and more so since, you'd think they'd be less aggressive since October the 7th, wouldn't you? They're more aggressive.
Can you actually physically talk to them, or just they just have a narrative that they're not listening and you can't get anything through to them?
They're not interesting in communicating with us. They're woefully ignorant of facts. They're not interested in facts, to be honest. The PSC themselves won't talk to us. They want nothing to do with us. They regard us as, well, I don't know how they regard us, but they regard us as not worth talking to. And but passers-by now will talk to us. And, you know, they chant free, free Palestine from the river to the sea, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, you know, all the chants. That's their main preoccupation, chanting, drowning us out. And if you ask them what they mean by Palestine, you won't get the same answer twice. They're not sure what Palestine is, or the river, or the sea. I'm not exaggerating, it really is this bad. Their narrative generally about Israel is that it is a white colonialist state created by the US and Britain, created by the West. That there was a country called Palestine where, you know, brown-skinned Arabs were peacefully cultivating their olive and orange groves, and along came European Jews, white settlers, and kicked them out with ethnic cleansing. That's how appalling their narrative is, you know. And this is why I think, because they continue with that narrative and they broadcast that narrative, I think that's why passions are so high, because it makes the Jewish people in Israel sound terrible. But they won't listen to reason. They won't listen. We do have a Facebook page where you can actually see us in action. You can see the sort of exchanges that we have there.
You're going out on the streets and they're out on the streets, and everybody has different opinions, and we should all respect others' opinions, even if we don't agree with them. Do you receive anti-Semitism from them? And does it feel dangerous for you being out there?
The PSC are pretty clever, especially now the police, we have a police presence. They're pretty clever at not getting in trouble by, you know, saying anything overtly anti-Semitic. They do get away with from the river to the sea. The police are excusing that. Passers-by sometimes can be, you know, absolutely anti-Semitic, you know, bloody Jews, you know, child murderers, you know, you get that, and a lot of swearing and just general unpleasantness, you know. From aggressive passers-by, we do get anti-Semitism, and it is dangerous. You know, I'm sure we would have physical violence against us a lot more if the police weren't there. The PSC are mostly white, middle-class, far-left activists. That doesn't make them peaceful. It makes them quite, you know, vitriolic. But as I say, they know how to behave. They know what the boundaries are. What we get quite a lot of young Muslim boys, men, young men, but some boys, you know, sort of low teens, and they can be very anti-Semitic. They'll give you the finger across the throat thing, and, you know, they are nasty. And you see them circling, and the only reason we are still standing after 2 hours is because the police are there. I'm not being dramatic by saying that. We realize that we wouldn't last 5 minutes without the police there. But we're safe with the police there, put it that way.
This must feel really, really sad that you know, you guys love Israel. You want to go out and share the truth about Israel, yet you actually need a police presence when it was actually Israel that was attacked on October the 7th.
That's the amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, I think we're all shocked by that, aren't we? I mean, I thought to myself with October the 7th, you know, the depth of the tragedy, you know, the horror of the tragedy, I thought, well, at least people know now what it's all about with Hamas, what it's all about with with Hamas. I'm not going to generalize about the Palestinian people, but, you know, what Israel is up against. And I was expecting, I think we all were, sort of less noise from the PSC because they're too embarrassed about it, and, you know, and more sympathy towards our Israeli flags. But as you know, exactly the opposite has happened. I mean, the very next day, the PSC met at the clock tower in Brighton. We weren't there. It was a Sunday, I think, but it was on video. And a student leader from Sussex University, instead of apologizing for what Hamas had done, was celebrating. What wonderful news it is coming out of Israel. The fence has been breached and, you know, the Israelis have got a bit of their own medicine. You know, she was eventually arrested after a lot of pressure from us. She was eventually arrested for the hate speech. But no, who would have thought that in response to October the 7th, it would be the Israelis being held to account. It would be the Palestinians who yet again are the victims. And what really disappoints me is, you know, my own country, really. I mean, I'm disappointed in the whole response in the West. I mean, the United Nations response. I mean, I think on October the 9th, they held 2 minutes silence for the Palestinians now under occupation, and 2 minutes silence for the Palestinians under occupation and for people elsewhere. In other words, the people, I guess, at the Nova and in the kibbutzim on the border who had been slaughtered. And then we've learned, haven't we, about UNRWA in Gaza and the role that they've been playing. We knew UNRWA were not exactly on Israel's side, but we didn't know, did we, that they were actually, some of them were Hamas operatives. I never guessed that. Some of the hostages would be found, you know, in the homes of UNRWA employees. And who would have guessed? It seems that whatever evidence is uncovered, whatever case is made for Israel, the world ignores it. And I mean, even with our conservative government, before they were kicked out last week, you had David Cameron, our foreign secretary, didn't you, calling for a ceasefire when the job was hardly done, you know, so that Hamas could turn around and say, come out of their tunnels and say, we won, we saw them off, you know. I mean, and now, of course, the Labour Party, the Prime Minister now is calling for a ceasefire. He's caved in. So I'm bitterly disappointed with the reaction in our country, in the West. I mean, Biden, Blinken, you know, they're going soft on Iran. Why aren't they? Why? Well, I can't understand the reaction of the West. I really can't. I think we've got a death wish. If we can't stand up for Israel, I don't think there's much future for us in the West.
You've had big protests in London. What is the mood like among British Jews? Are they scared?
Yes. I think they're shocked and I think they're scared. In response, as I said early on, the Sussex Friends of Israel, we didn't have many Jewish members. But as I say, I can understand that because we met on a Saturday, because the PSC met on a Saturday. So it wasn't a good time for the Jewish people to join us. But since October the 7th, they have formed their own group called Jewish and Proud. And they've really come out in their numbers. And when you talk to them, you can see the level, you see how upset they are. You know, they say, where can we go? You know, where can we go? And of course, I say to them, well, you've got Israel. I mean, to be honest, the way things are going, I wish I had Israel. Not being Jewish, I haven't got Israel, but I wish I did have Israel because, you know, things are, I don't want to overdo that. But I mean, it's looking bad from my perspective, from a Jewish perspective. I think it's looking, you know, really bad. You heard about Gideon Falter, don't you? The CAA man who was told by a policeman when he went to look at a PSC mark in London a couple of months ago now, and he wanted to cross the road. He was wearing his kippah and he was told by a London policeman, look, you are openly Jewish and, you know, you're a threat to the peace, here, because if they see you, you're overtly Jewish, it's going to cause trouble. In other words, you know, you're going to be the victim, but it's your fault. And that caused quite a stir here. And I think it made a lot of Jewish people realize that they, Jewish students on campuses here, you know, you cannot, you've got to hide your Jewishness. If you can hide it, hide it. Don't wear a Star of David around your neck on a necklace. Don't wear a kippah in public. You know, I mean, this is my own country. I can't believe what's happening here. The Jewish people are scared. And I don't think the silent majority, some of whom support the Palestinians, I don't say they support Hamas, but they support the Palestinians. don't realize what Jewish people here are going through.
The Bible does talk about the Jews coming home. So do you see that God is using all this trouble and difficulty to actually bring the Jews home back to Israel?
I personally don't see it like that, because I tend to see it, I don't see it in those terms. It's probably because, you know, although I'm Christian and although I, you know, one of my loves of Israel is because it was the site of Jesus's ministry in the Galilee, and he was born in Judea. And so I love Israel for that reason. I love the Jewish people because Christ born, lived and died as a Jew. I don't see it as what I mean is I don't concentrate on it as a biblical prophecy, although a lot of my colleagues in the Sussex Friends of Israel do. And for some of them, it's their reason for being there. It's not my reason for being there, to be honest. I think I'm more sort of, I don't know what word to use, sort of pragmatic in terms of, you know, what's happening on the street, you know what I mean? Rather than seeing it in those terms. I suppose in a way it could be a comfort to see it in those terms, but I don't get much comfort in that, to be honest. Do you find that?
I do sort of see that the Bible talks about I will send the fishers and I will send the hunters. And we've mm-hmm. seen in the past how God has used Christians particularly to bring the Jews home. And those ones that just wouldn't come home, now God is sort of putting the boiling point on and say, you know, I'm going to bring you home and now I'm going to send the hunters. And of course, all these Palestinian protests and the anti-Semitism rise, I sort of see that as God putting the pressure to bring the Jews back home.
Yes, I can understand why you think that and why you say that. And it would be nice to think that there was a sort of a part of all this terrible behavior and you know, the terrible things being done to the Jews, the treatment they're getting, that it was part of a greater plan and that good would come from it. I'm happy to subscribe to that, but and I hope that it were true, but I'm afraid it doesn't do it for me at the moment. You know, I'm sort of more interested in changing things in this country, really.
You stand with Israel as a Christian. Why is that?
Well, as I said, because it's not just the fact that I'm a Christian that I stand with Israel. I was born in 1948 and I grew up, same age as Israel, and I grew up with the news of the Holocaust coming out, and I spent my whole life trying to understand it. But being a Christian, I do, you know, as I said just now, you know, the Christ was Jewish. That's where I go. And I've been to the Galilee. I had a fantastic time in Israel, you know, sort of following the ministry of Christ around the Galilee and walking the Via Dolorosa. And, you know, so Israel is such a crucial, important place for Christians. And the Jewish people, Christ being a Jew, was such an important, you know, it's also important for Christians. So that's why I stand for Israel. But the other reason is because they're so persecuted, regardless of my religious affiliation. Just as, you know, they're so persecuted. They have been treated so badly and are continuing to be treated so badly that I want to do all I can to defend them. And, you know, I understand what you're saying about it's sort of a part of a bigger plan. But I think my priority right now is to stand up for them, you know, and to do all I can to defend them and try and get the message over to the haters that they're badly informed, you know.
When you heard about October the 7th, what were your thoughts when you actually heard about this terrible massacre that happened in Israel? And did you think it would result in all of this hatred?
No. As I said, I really, you know, obviously it was a terrible shock to hear it. I was very surprised that the Israelis somehow allowed an incursion like that to happen. That was a big shock. But, you know, once over that shock, the real shock was what happened to these poor people. Because the fact that these were the peacemakers, these were the pro-Palestinian peacemakers who wanted to live alongside and integrate with the Palestinians. And it ended up, you know, in their slaughter and their kidnapping. And I found it so horrendous that I was sure it was a turning point. Having advocated for Israel for 10 years and having had, you know, quite a level of negativity from people, I thought, well, this is going to turn people. They're going to see what Islam extremism leads to. They're going to see the nature of Hamas. I mean, there's no way silent majority, the Labour Party supported ISIS or supported Al-Qaeda, but somehow or other, they seem to have a blind spot with Hamas. I thought, this is the turning point. It's all going to change now. You know, Israel's going to get sympathy. Israel's going to get backing. But exactly the opposite's happened. That's been the biggest shock to me of all. I can't believe it. I can't believe the blindness about Iran, because all this is orchestrated by Iran, you know, to disrupt the peace accord that was Israel was making with Saudi Arabia. And Iran's behind, we know it's behind Hezbollah and Hamas, and more now in the West Bank and the Houthis in Yemen. And at this very point, the UN, the United States and Britain, they're all going soft on Iran. I mean, by soft, I mean, they've suspended the sanctions. They don't seem to be monitoring the growth towards a nuclear bomb. They don't seem to be recognizing that, you know, why aren't they publicizing it more? The fight is going to have to be with Iran. It has been a turning point, but not the turn in the direction I was hoped it was going to be.
What is your prayer for Israel at this time?
Well, I think my prayer is actually for both the Israeli people and the Palestinian people. But it's a hell of a prayer. And that is that what I mean is that it's it would take a miracle for it to be answered, I think. I pray that when Hamas is beaten and we are looking for leadership from amongst the Palestinian people, because they can't live under occupation. I mean, I don't think there has been an occupation, but there would literally be an occupation in Gaza, you know, in the same way there was in Germany after the Second World War. Moderate leaders have to come from the Palestinian people, and that would be my prayer. Our governments, looking towards Mahmoud Abbas and the PLO, are looking in the wrong place for moderate leaders. They are more of the same, I'm afraid. My prayer would be for the Israeli people and Palestinian people to live in peace, and I think that could be achieved by moderate leaders coming from amongst the Palestinians, probably now in Gaza, would have to be in Gaza, in the same way that when the Nazis were defeated, we found, Konrad Adenauer came forward, and then later on Willy Brandt, people who would lead Germany back into the world community after the Nazis were destroyed. The Palestinians need to be led back into the world community with moderate leaders in order to live alongside Israel. But, you know, it's the most ambitious prayer I've ever had.
What is your Facebook page for people who'd like to know more about the work that you do and perhaps see some of the videos you've been talking about?
Yeah, the Facebook page is just the Sussex Friends of Israel.
Well, thank you so much, Martin, for sharing today.
Okay, well, it's been a pleasure, Paul. It's been nice talking to you.
Thank you for joining us today. Pray that God will move by his mighty power in the Holy Land and bring his peace.